Hi, everyone. Yes, it has been a while. Flo and I missed you all, and we're glad you're listening. April is significant as it marks both Cesarean Awareness Month and Black Maternal Health Week, spanning from April 11th to April 17th. Cesarean Awareness Month serves as an opportunity to debunk misconceptions and eliminate stigmas surrounding cesarean births, to offer support to mothers who have undergone this significant medical procedure, and to reassure them that their experiences are both valid and deserving of respect regardless of the delivery method. During Black Maternal Health Week, we celebrate, raise awareness, engage in activism to amplify the voices and lived experiences of Black mamas and birthing people. Thus, it seemed fitting to continue our season 2 episodes with an interview featuring Shardé Webb. Shardé, a fellow Black mama, made it her business to have her Black sister-in-law, Nurse Courtney, be a part of her support system during her first pregnancy journey. She had 2 successful cesarean deliveries for both of her daughters, worked full-time at her job, started a baby food business called Mova Munch during the pandemic, was highly involved in her church while taking care of a 2-year-old. And she is now a self-published author of a children's book inspired by her 2 daughters while running the self-publishing company with her husband. I was blessed to have connected with Shardé during the pandemic through this app called Clubhouse, where there was a group of fellow Black mompreneurs virtually gathered to navigate her journey of motherhood together. Over the years, I'm so happy that she has become a dear friend of mine. She'll make you laugh, she'll inspire you, and she loves to educate people. And most importantly, she'll remind you to do what's best for you and your child and your family. We hope you enjoy this episode. Happy listening. Oh, you know, Flo, I was reading one of Shardé's posts, and she's like, oh, I'm here at the library speaking and reading my book or sharing my book, selling my book, and I have a lot going on, and then I'm on a podcast, and then da-da-da-da. I was like, oh, wonderful. She's on a podcast. I was like, wait, that's our podcast.
That's our podcast. That's so funny.
I was like, what podcast? I was like,
we are important, Brandy. We are important.
Yes, yeah, very important to me. She texts me. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yes, yours.
It's like, oh. Because we're only rolling in our second season. So I think Laura and I are still pinching ourselves that, you know, we've made it to our second season. So welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. We're excited to have you.
Thank you. So excited to be here. I love you guys.
Love you too. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Like I mentioned, we go way back. You know, pandemic way back. So, and how we met. Yeah, and it's just a blessing how we met. I do want to point out to our listeners and our viewers, if you hear me say Shay, there's a great backstory to that. So I'll say Shay, like, who's Shay? You're talking to Shardé. Well, if you don't mind just sharing briefly, and it was an empowering reason why you changed, well, that is your name, Shardé. Yes. Can you share?
Yes, I definitely can. My God-given name, what my mom and dad gave me, is Shardé. I'm an 80s baby, so Shardé, the singer, was, you know, huge back then. But my dad's name is Shondor, and my mom wanted to have something similar to that. So she was like, okay, Shardé, you know, phonetically spelled, so Shardae. And I went by that. Everybody knew me as, you know, growing up. And then I got into, like, young adulthood, like in the corporate world, stuff like that. And I noticed coworkers or managers, they could not pronounce Shardé for some odd reason. Now, I don't think it's hard. It's really 2 syllables. Mm-hmm. But it's just they could not pronounce it. So to stop and me correcting everyone or getting offended, I went and said, you know, I'm just going to go by Shay. And I did that in, like, college. Because in college, I was doing a lot of professional career type. So I was a pharmacy technician in the college. Like, people don't usually have that type of job. They're usually, like, you know, a barmaid or something like that. And I started going by that forever up until, like, a little over 2 years ago. I was had my girls. Well, my oldest is 5, and then my youngest, she'll be 2 in December. Mm-hmm. And we were thinking of their names, and it was huge for me because somebody who comes from my name being mispronounced so much that I wanted to make sure they did not go through what I went through. So I chose Kinsley and Kelsey, and people still call her Kingsley with no G in there. But I think that's just, and that's like kind of teeter-tottering at one of the aspects towards the book. So I said myself, you know, if I'm going to teach other people how to recognize names, and names are important, and if someone mispronounced your name, it's like, obviously your parents took time in coming up with your name. So don't try to like deviate from it, and respect and honor your parents and yourself by, you know, correcting them when they're wrong and embracing your name.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And now I think about it, yeah, it's honoring what our parents very thoughtfully, you know, made up for us. Yeah. When I say Brandy, oh, Brandy with a Y, not just so people can write it, but it was actually from the OJ song. My daddy made, you know, it was his idea. And you're going to get, you don't want to get the OJ song wrong when they're talking about Brandy. So that was definitely honoring my dad's choice. Yes.
Yeah.
No, wait, Flo short for Florence?
It is.
I think I knew that, but
yeah, it is. And Florence is the name that my mother gave me. And when I was growing up, I was Florence. I was probably Florence really until I was in my teens. And for me, right, because Florence, like, you know, as I was growing up, we didn't have Florence Pugh. We didn't have Florence in the Machine, right? Because I'm Gen X, so I'm a little older than you guys. And it was a name that that was old. It felt old. Right?
Old soul.
And so, maybe. I don't know.
Because you are an old soul.
Well, thank you. But so I chose to go by Flo. And now everybody calls me that. My mother doesn't even call me Florence anymore very often. So.
But it goes to show, like, our parents really strategically chooses our name, whether it's a song, a memory, you know, in honoring somebody. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I understand the points of going like shorter, but you wouldn't think for me that Shay is short for Sharday, because it's like totally different things. Right. So I kind of like changed an identity at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just really frustrating that like the corporate world kind of switched my way of thinking. And it took me to, you know, 30 plus to realize like, no. And then to have my own, like, no, you're just going to have to correct my name and, you know, pronounce it right. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that is great. That's empowering. I know. That's a whole other podcast episode.
It is.
That's a whole other podcast. It is. Like thing. The whole names like, and what they mean.
And what we have to do to change ourselves and identity. The whole. Okay.
So
I know it was a good segue to your kids. Flo, you're going to ask about.
I was going to ask about the kids. So, 5 and 2.
Yes. Yes.
That's very exciting.
It's 5 and Kelsey is 2.
That's so cool. Your kids, Brandy, are
Sebastian's 7.
Yeah.
And Sophia's 3. So when we met, obviously we had our, Sharday had her first, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then Sophia was still like pre-toddler. Yeah. Okay. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We were still fresh.
So, I mean, so this is Delivery Diaries. So it's, you know, family creation and that kind of stuff. Like, how long were you and your husband married together before you had your first?
We were just hanging out because he worked at the same job I worked at.
Oh.
As a pharmacy technician. He worked there as like something else, but he was in the same like hospital I was at. So then we were finding ourselves being around each other so much. And, you know, back then you talking on the phone up late at night, you know, stuff like that. And it's jokingly because we never like officially, you know, how like, oh, this is our anniversary when we started dating. We never had that at all. We were just like, when we're, you know, dating, technically dated. We were together still 6 years of that. And then we got engaged in March of 2017. And then in May, we were engaged. I was like, oops, like, something's going on.
That's
not
great.
Not saying that she's an oops child. Like, the timing, in my timing, I thought it would be much different and look different compared to guys' timing, obviously. So we was planning for like this big wedding, had a venue deposit down and everything. We're like, scratch that. Let's just go to, you know, take that money that we had saved up. We bought a house, bought everything. Mm. We're gonna end up having my baby shower at the wedding venue that we picked out because I couldn't
do my money. So,
yeah, we took that money and we ended up buying a house in December. Like, I literally got married, had a baby, bought a house all within 9 months.
That's awesome.
And engaged in there too. And people do that over years, you know.
And then you throw in your business.
Well, the business didn't come till later.
Okay. We'll slow down on that. Okay.
I was strictly 9-to-5 girly. Yes. I was strictly 9-to-5 and I lived by that at that time. But
And this man that helped, you know, do all this stuff, Drew.
Yes.
His name Drew. Okay. Drew. Yes. Drew's your husband.
He still likes to go by Drew and not Andrew.
Okay. We'll keep him Drew.
Like,
okay.
I love that for you, but I'm still going by Drew. So we moved in like 3 days or 2 days before Christmas. Kinsley was born that following March 5th.
Wow.
Yeah.
I do remember Sebastian and Kinsley have the same March birthday.
Yeah.
When was Kelsey born? What's her birthday?
I have to always remember this. Did you do this with your second?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I just did filling out her waiver to go on a field trip for the, I was like, January, February, March, June. Oh.
So I'm not alone when I.
11, I can remember because Brian chose that date for the delivery.
Yeah.
But June 6th. And then obviously I can remember 2020 because of pandemic. So yeah, but I'm still putting.
I can't. So her birthday is December. It's 12/22/21. So that's
the numbers. Yeah.
And I keep the day. Like,
see? Exactly.
I even have to go
sometimes. It's also a palindrome.
See?
It's a number palindrome.
The Flo knows that second child syndrome because I'm a second child. Poor kids.
It always.
I mean, I was also a second child, but I did not have a second
child. Well, then I. You're an old soul, Flo. You're an old soul.
Something.
Okay, great. So where should we even... Okay, so we began, but where should we begin? Because I know this is so much connected because your delivery story is so... Okay, how do I say this? It's so entrenched with how you started your business.
Yes, it is.
It was inspired by mommyhood.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
So then let's just start with... What do you think, Flo? Like I said, this isn't linear, you know, and how it is.
So, I mean, I think we start with like what happened ultimately, right? Like, so Kinsley was born.
Yes.
Okay. We'll start with
right. Propelled. Like that propelled you into your,
Move a brand, Move a Munch.
And the Move a Munch. So,
yeah. Okay.
Like, was it something that happened during delivery? Was it after delivery? Like, what is the story? So you had this epic stuff. So you had like super short, like you said, something happened that usually happens over years for a lot of people, right? Like, or we typically think like you get engaged, you're engaged for a year, then you get married, then you're married for a couple of years, then you have a baby, right?
Yeah.
For you, that time frame was compacted. and so you're here, it's March of, mm-hmm. you said 20, it would be 2018, right? It's March 2018. And you have a baby.
Yes.
And when did you start your business?
My business was not started until it was, I want to say the seed was planted in 2019.
Yeah, okay. Right after, a year right after, yeah.
And then it went into like full-blown fruition in 2020.
Okay.
And okay, so now we're going to rewind because it all was inspired by eating, her eating habits. Okay.
Yeah. So we're in June of 2018.
Let's go back to when she's still in your belly.
Okay.
So pre,
we'll do it briefly, because you have two kids, so we could go on for 4 hours talking about each little.
Seriously. But like, so prenatal.
Yeah. How was prenatal?
Birth, postpartum. Like, what was that like for you?
So prenatal, I would like to say that I was very fortunate and not the typical story of like the journey, especially like the Black woman during pregnancy. My sister-in-law, she is a women's health nurse practitioner now, but at the time she was an L&D nurse. So she was like alongside us. It's only me and my brother. So we hadn't had any kids prior. So I was like the first to go on this journey. And she was then like my advocate, you know, I had her right by my side. If I had questions, I can text her. And then my OBGYN was a Black woman as well. Now, I had her from, like, when you go get your first, you know, gynecology appointment. So I had a rapport with her as well. So it's very atypical for a Black woman to have Black health providers alongside her and have a rapport. And we can kind of, like, develop a pathway of what we should look like. And then I can have, like, you know, sometimes you got to send a my chart question to somebody. Like, I could just text my sister-in-law and ask her a question. Mm-hmm. And she was newer in her journey as an L&D nurse at the time as well. So, you know,
excuse me. And for our listeners and viewers, if you don't know, L&D is labor and delivery.
Yeah, sorry.
No, don't be sorry. We like to educate first timers or first people that hear it for the first time or learning for the first time.
She was very new in her journey with that. Hadn't recently graduated from school. So they're more studious. They're more looking up. They're not just, you know, based on what I do, my normal da-da-da. They're like, oh, no, it might be this. So, or they're able to go back because it's more fresh in their mind. They're more, but, you know, it's definitely a different dynamic. So if I had any questions or any issues along the way, I had both of them to lean on to. So that was, my prenatal was different, very different. I had a very strong, strong support system.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, did you have any complications during prenatal? Like, were you healthy for the most part?
For the most part, I feel like I got big as a house. I'm surprised I was able to fit through the door of the house. But I did had like headaches early on and it was the summer and I was very pregnant. I did experience the headaches, and that's because my sister-in-law likes to get on this all the time about me being conscious and drinking my water, because you have to almost triple the water you would drink in a normal day.
And yeah, you're in Cleveland. That's humid too.
Yes. And then I think that was for the most part. I mean, uncomfortable towards the end, but that's to be expected with everybody, but mostly just the headaches.
Did you have a birth plan? Did you know of those, since you were the first person in your family?
Listen, my birth plan, my plan was to ask her and ask her.
I love it. My birth plan is you right by my side.
I'm one of a person that, like, I have an idea of it, but I don't want to put hard expectations on it, because if it doesn't come out that way, I beat myself up so bad about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brandy's seen my birth plan. It's like 4 pages.
She emailed it.
Yeah. It's like, well, I actually don't think it's 4 pages. I think it's only 2.
No, it had contingencies. But it was small font.
But it had contingencies. So I understand you. I had, if this happens, this is what's going to happen. If this happens, it gives me, how can I say this? It gives me a little bit of anxiety when people don't have a birth plan.
I know, so I'm the total opposite.
I love it. I love it so much. That's great. So you went in with, my plan is, like, I'm going to ask
your sister-in-law. What's her name?
Her name's Courtney.
Courtney, this part of the episode is dedicated to you. So yes, Courtney, your birth plan. We'll get her episode. Yeah, so Courtney, this part of the episode is dedicated to you. So she's your birth plan.
Yes, she is.
Okay.
I love that.
So then contractions, labor? Let's get into the whole.
Yeah. So the only thing, I will say this, so Flo reminded me, the only thing I had planned was a playlist that I wanted.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I had a playlist. Yeah. Didn't need a chance to listen to it, but I had a playlist.
Well, I guess we'll find out why you didn't get a chance to listen to it.
Yes. So it was, around March, it was late night, and I was having contractions. It was going into March 5th, like the wee hours of the morning. So I think I labored at home as much as I thought I did. And then I could text Courtney, like, I think it's time. And she was like, well, I'm not at work, but I know people there that's on, and they can take care of you. So I was like, okay. She had to come on work at 9. So say I was in there at 6. She was like, well, can you hold off till 9 o'clock? And then she made my birth plan. So I was like, well, we're just gonna hold off.
Wait, let's go. Did you just mention she just had a baby?
Yes, she did.
And now she's probably like, how did I tell her our day to hold off?
Push.
Now she knows.
Courtney's not here yet. Don't push. Yeah.
I still as long as I could, you know, and then around like 9, 8 there, I'm like, okay, I'll meet you there. She's like, okay, yeah, you know. Well, it goes to show though, because in all honesty, terrified. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've watched, you know, they tell you not to, but you watch and you see videos and stuff. And TikTok wasn't around or nothing like that, you know, back then. So I was like going down a YouTube rabbit hole. And
yes. Oh, no, I know.
Oh, my God. So I was terrified, but I knew she loved me. She loved my brother. She cared about her job. She was passionate about it. So I was highly dependent on her. It just like out here winging it, but I'm like looking at her like, you're my person right now. And that take away from Drew. Drew brings me peace. When there's chaos, he brings me peace. He's like, because he's so nonchalant. Like if you see him, he'll be like, you know, what's going on, dude? He's like, how you doing? You know, he's so nonchalant. And it's almost like he brings, I'm always, you know, and then he's like, chill out. So we get there and Courtney's there. And she's like high strung. She's you know, she's go.
She's ready to go.
Yeah. I labor for even longer, and like I'm hardly ever dilated, just a little bit,
couple
centimeters. And I labor long, and then Kinsley heart rate started dropping.
How many centimeters?
I think it was like 2 to 3.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then her heart rate started dropping, and then I'm not dilated nowhere nearly enough. And they're getting concerned. So they give me my epidural and they're like, we're going to have to give you a C-section. So I look at Drew and he looks back at me. And side note, a funny thing is, one thing he did perk up about or have some type of concern about was when those doctors come in and like look at your check how dilated you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just throw your legs back real quick and just check them. Like they don't ask. I'm like, we're delivering a baby out of here. Like, what is that shit has sales here.
Tell him wait for delivery diaries, Dad. He'll share with other dads what it's going to be like. Prepare the dads. Prepare the partners.
I don't like that part. I'm like, listen here. Like, what do you want me to think? Like, they don't tell you. They just go right.
He was concerned. He was generally learning curve.
So then they're like, we're going to have to rush you to get a C-section. Now, they say, I don't know how true it is, like, you know, based on like genetically and then how your mom delivered, they have some type of correlation. I'm not real versed in that area, but I have heard that like floating around, my mom did have me C-section as well. So we go back there and they perform. She comes out healthy. It was scary. And then, but I didn't feel anything. I was super cold. I remember feeling so like ice cold to like
in the operating room.
Yes. Wow. My teeth was shivering. Like I've never experienced that type of cold before. And it wasn't like cold, like, cause I live in Cleveland, Ohio. It gets cold here.
Your body was reacting to the anesthesia. Could have been your reaction because you're shivering or you're literally going to be trembling. Yeah.
Yes. And I was so cold. I remember I was telling Drew because they have your partner at the top with you and they got your arms like laid out like you're dying on the cross or something.
Like Jesus. Yeah.
Just like Jesus.
Like a slap.
Well, yeah. And you're, you've got IVs in you and they're getting, you know.
You probably have a mask on.
Yeah. You had a back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did.
Yeah. Because you're in the OR.
Yeah. And then I remember telling him, like, I'm so cold. I'm so cold. So they're, like, getting warmer blankets, you know, out the warmer and putting them on me. And I could kind of hear, because I had at the time been a technician in the hospital for, like, 10 years. So I know the names of drugs. So I'm hearing what they're giving me. Mm. And it's jogging my memory. So that, too, I think kind of helped me, because everything, if you're not like versed or have a support system, it can be scary as heck.
Yeah.
You know, they're
even if you do.
Yes.
It can be scary.
Like, yes.
It's still major surgery. Right.
I heard they said, well, most women, you ask them, like, have you had any major surgeries before? You know, you go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, a woman would check off knowing she had a C-section.
Yep.
Because they don't.
Because you don't consider it a major surgery.
Yeah.
Well, because we're not prepared and educated. Even a my OB, you know, it wasn't like, and this is no knock on our doctors, but there needs to be a change and shift in how they prepare us. By the way, if you do have a cesarean, you're literally, we're literally ripping and moving your abdomens.
Yes. Going through five layers.
Yes. And this is how you should heal it afterwards. Because afterwards, you're just like, bye, c'est la vie.
Yeah.
Good luck in strengthening your core on your own when you don't know how to do that.
Brandy, you bring up something very good. Even though I had like a female and a black doctor, there's never like a talk, okay, they just always talk of natural birth but it never talks about, okay, this is what happens in the cesarean. I feel like we need to be real versed and, like you said, educated in all areas. So this is what breastfeeding, this is what formula, this is what C-section, this is what, you know, all of this. So you can be well informed and you won't be scared like me, you know, going into it. And at least you can have an idea of what it was.
Well, thank you, because this is what your episode is for. So, no, really, we appreciate it, because this is the part where I listen to Sharday's part of the story about cesarean and C-section, because that's my story too, and how you can at least be informed and hear from the horse's mouth.
Well, there's that, and I think Sharday, I think you bring up a good point, and I've said this before. It's one of the reasons I do this work with Brandy, is in many ways the things that you're talking about is. When we were living in villages as humans, right?
Yeah.
You know, this information was passed down from woman to woman. You know, it was midwife to mother. So we had this extensive group of women around us who, you know, as humans, and we took care of each other, right? And I really do believe in our modern, especially in the Western medicine, we've lost a lot of that.
We did. Mm-hmm. We did. We lost the personalization. We lost the hands-on. I mean, in those doctor's offices, you're really just a number in a slot where you have to fill in the blanks elsewhere. And who knows, is that information factual or not? You know, so it's just like, rather than, like you say, back in the day, oh, this is what happens, this is what I experienced. And I feel like meeting Brandy in that area, we kind of like hit on a lot of that stuff that we missed along the way.
Yeah, because I had also my first child, I had an unplanned cesarean. But the second time when, you know, my whole story at the last straw, like I was planned. And I had black OBGY too before I was pregnant. She knows me from when. But she's like, looking at, so what date do you want to schedule this? I'm like, what are we making, dinner reservations? She's laughing. Like, I know. She knows. She gets it. Like, Ryan, you pick the date. I'll let you have that.
I did the same thing. We were like, you know, closer towards the third trimester. And she's like, so what date you want to pick? And I was like, well, what day are you working?
And then you have like my cousin and my other girlfriend who's like, what's the school calendar? They were really into it. They're like, I got ones that are like, oh, what's the date? I'm like, more power to, they were empowered by that. They're just like, this is what's happening.
I think we did that too, because it's around Christmas. They have Christmas break. So I'm like, if you do Wednesday, then she could be at school during the day and then we don't have a child.
Yes. You this know? Is a real thing. I mean, listeners and viewers, I'm telling you, be empowered around date.
All calendars involved to make your life so much easier. I think that's a mom hack, you know?
Mom hack. I love it. I'm writing that down. Mom hack. Pick your date. Okay, great. So you were in labor for a long time then, when you were waiting with Courtney and then going to the hospital. And then that's, I understand about the heart rate dropping. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't ask me what time she was born.
Oh, no, it's okay. Brian knows that stuff. I don't, I'm like, you're just out healthy.
And Brian, on the blanket, but I just can never remember.
No, I, but see, and with the two of you, like, you guys were, you had anesthesia, you had, so, you know, for me, I was there. I know exactly what time, like, I know what time, because I was like wildly conscious. You know, it's just a different, it is. Sid knows too, but So you have a C-section.
Yes.
Kinsley's here. She's healthy. That's amazing. Yes. Super beautiful.
What was it like when you and Drew knew that Kinsley was out? Did you hear her first cry?
Yeah, we heard her first cry. We saw her because they ask you if you want that gown where you can see through, mm-hmm. or you want to, like, you know, the normal blue one. I'm like, no, I don't want to see any of that. Mm-hmm. But Drew's all like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. Like, if you want to see that, that's fine. So we did. And then so when they pick her up, it's almost like Simba off the Lion King, you know?
Yes.
Up in there.
That's how I
am. Yep. No, but it's true.
It's true. My doctor was like, that was part of my birth plan on the second baby. I just want Sophia, do the Lion King, doc. The Lion King. She's like, okay, yes. I got you.
Yeah. Oh, I did. And look, see, you guys are jogging my memory. I did have one thing. The playlist was one part. And then I had read up on a delayed cutting of the cord. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the benefits with that. I did do that with both of them.
That's great.
I would like to say, I think that did have some benefits on her and her nutrients and the upbringing. And we have yet to have any like crucial like things going on with her. But I did delay. They let you delay, but it's only a certain amount of time. So mm-hmm. they let you go to that max and they're like, okay, we're cutting now. And they let Drew cut or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I did delay cord cutting for both.
That's great.
Yeah.
And we do talk about delay cord cutting in other episodes too. So we like to make sure our listeners and viewers are informed. So.
Yeah. I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. I know cord like capsulation and all that stuff, or placenta capsulation is like a biggie now. To me, I didn't want to see that. I didn't know. They waited.
Yeah, I had no interest, really. I'm like, can you just give it to someone else that might want it?
Yeah, exactly. We did delayed cord clamping, too, with Audrey. Yeah. And my feeling on it was like, it's her blood.
Yeah, yeah.
It belongs to her. Why can't she have it?
Exactly.
And so, but again, same as you, only a certain period of time. And I think it was like less than 5 minutes or something.
I think so. I think it was like two, I want to say, or something like that.
But as long as you can hold off.
Yeah.
Like, that's,
it's the same. Same thing.
That's great.
That was part of the plan.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
See, you had a plan.
I'm not as diligent as you, Flo. You're okay.
I know.
Your gifts are different. That's all. Yes. Like, that's stall. You know.
We'll see what happens. We'll go with it. We're figuring out.
And you did. And
the plan was half a page.
It was a memo in my phone. That's what it was.
It was mine too. Hey. No, that's great. Yes. The mom memo on the iPhone.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And, you know, she came out healthy, happy parents. How was your recovery?
It was rough.
Postpartum.
It was really rough. Mm-hmm. Again, not knowing what to expect. And at the time, you hear about people, because they put me on, discharged me with OxyContin pills.
Yeah.
And me, again, being well-versed in the pharmacy area and seeing how people can come, like, dependent on those. And I think that was, like, around the same time as, like, this outbreak of, you know, pills and everything else. So me, myself, was very hesitant on taking those because I didn't want to become that other person added to it. But I was trying as long as I could to not take any, like, pain medicine.
So I have a question about that.
Yeah.
So this is something that I don't know. If you're on OxyContin.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Can you breastfeed?
You can.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a low... What did you say? Sorry.
Nurse Courtney told me.
Nurse Courtney. Because it's not a high enough dose.
Okay. It's not. They think they put you on max maybe 10 milligrams. They start you off at 5, but it doesn't like cross like certain barriers that's like blood like that would need for like breastfeeding. It's very low dose.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was on like 5 or 10. And it's very short. Like they'll only have you on there like 4 days max.
Okay.
But mine is kind of different. In my like teenage years, I became like allergic to NSAIDs. So that's non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medication.
Advil, Motrin. Yeah.
So even like during like labor, I couldn't take certain things because I had I couldn't get like the normal. I had to get the second. So Tylenol 3 is the highest that I can take.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to fight it off with Tylenol, but I needed it for the pain because the recovery was rough. And then just not knowing what to expect as far as tolerance. I feel like you find your true level of pain through pregnancy and delivering. Like your tolerance. Like I have a low tolerance.
Same here.
I don't want to feel
it. I feel like I would have had a low tolerance if it was vaginal.
Yes.
Because I'm just down there. I'm just like, cringe. And then, and that's all they really shared. A tear. You can have a tear. Yes. That's all my doctor would share. I don't want no tear.
No, I think when you call it the ring of fire, when that head's vagina is big that it cannot go anymore. The ring of fire.
Well, I was very fortunate. My child's head was not large.
Oh, see, isn't that? But this is why we have this, is so that there's just like more understanding of where other people are coming from, because I'm cringing and some women are like, it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh no, I want my vagina to stay the way it is.
And I only had one girlfriend that had the cesarean too. We actually were the last of our childhood friends. Mm-hmm. So they're all grown. Her and I are the ones with the toddlers. So like, they're looking at us like, oh.
No.
But she's like, oh no, I didn't need to go through all that. She's like, my vagina's intact. I'm good. Thank you. She's happy about it. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh yeah, I could think of it that way too.
I think that means you got good elasticity.
What our bodies were meant to do. We're just like, nope.
No, thank you.
You guys are ridiculous.
I was very apprehensive about taking the OxyContin. I did not want to, but I eventually did because Drew, again, bringing his piece, like you need to, because you're breastfeeding, we need to like get you some type of relief. And if that's going to do it, then he reassured me, I'm not going to let you become
anything
like that, because I need you here. You know, we need you here. So yeah.
What was hard about it, besides, was it the actual discomfort of the healing with your tummy, or what else was hard?
We did initially breastfeed. And when she's breastfeeding, your uterus contracts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if mine's was like, you know, split near there, like anytime she's breastfeeding, I'm feeling it and I'm hurting. I'm in pain. And she's cluster feeding. We're talking every other hour.
Cluster feeding, yeah.
Even if I want to sit comfortably, it had to be positioned a certain way. It's just all the things day to day you would think was okay and normal, just going up the stairs. I couldn't go up the stairs, so he put me down here in the, you know, spare bedroom. Mm-hmm. It was just a lot of things that accredited to like pain or discomfort. Mm-hmm. And here I am trying to bring life into another child, you know, or another person. So,
well, you're trying to keep your newborn alive.
Yes.
It's important.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, which is hard to do when you're in a tremendous amount of pain.
Yeah.
What eventually found you comfort? Did you find a certain like pillow area in your home, or did you find a groove of like taking your meds? And then
we got in a groove with the routine of my medication.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she would breastfeed, I would be positioned in the pillow a certain way, like around the pillow. Mm-hmm. I think they have a My Breast Friend pillow.
Yeah, it's all different now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then a boppy. I have the old school, what was that? Is it not a
boppy?
The boppy?
Yeah, I had a boppy.
More of the cushion boppy. And KJ, so that's her nickname. You know. So you had a boppy with her. But now My Breast Friend is like a harder.
Yeah.
It's still a cushion, but it's a firmer cushion.
It's definitely firmer.
And it stays on you.
Yeah, and then between that and propping myself up against that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. I hear the crying.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I get it. Like the postpartum recovery.
Yeah.
It's definitely something to be said.
And we had issues with her latching. So she didn't just get on perfectly either. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was a good one, but her suck wasn't like highly developed yet. And like in the hospital, they were like seeing, because you know, you have your colostrum, so your milk's not in, you know, the first couple of days. So she was doing okay. And then when she got home, she lost weight, like as in, you know, expected. A lot of parents, including myself, even know, like, okay, I kind of think we have like this thing in our heads, like, okay, yeah, they say the kids might lose weight, you know, the babies might lose weight, but that's not going to happen to me, right? But it does. And me having that in my mind, and then we go for our first checkup and I see how much she's lost. I'm like freaking out at the same time. So stress. You know, that leads to less production as well, especially if I'm not drinking water or eating or I'm uncomfortable. It's just a whole bunch of factors. So Andrew came up with this, like, We had her on breast milk and then formula supplementing at the same time. But she could not stand the bottle, like a nipple of a bottle. So she would suck on fingers. So she would suck on Andrew's finger. And he had like, I kid you not, I feel like he was like MacGyver coming up with this. So they discharged us with this, like almost similar to like a feeding tube. Mm-hmm. And we put that on the end of a syringe, had that syringe pour her formula at the time. So we poured it in there, and then she would suck on his finger, which was taped around the feeding tube, and then suck on his finger, and then suck the feeding tube at the same time.
Wow. That's
looking amazing. Like, how is that done?
Like,
look,
instincts just went to town. Wow.
Like, super, like, engineering. Like, this kid needs to eat. Right. Yeah. So, no, I get it. Like, the way you described it, it makes perfect sense. And so it was a baby food syringe is what I'm assuming
ended up having like, like a 10 ml syringe that she would get for like, because at the hospital, a 10 ml syringe, we poured the formula into there. It sits down there. The feeding tube is hooked up to the end of the syringe. Mm-hmm. It goes down to his finger, which was wrapped around with tape or something. And she would suck his finger, and then she would get like, and she ate it.
I'm telling you, Brandy, you're right. Like, we were talking about this before we got on with you. Like, that needs to be like patented.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if you've gotten there yet, but
because there's so many applications for that with kids who have suck problems or tongue tie or whatever, like you could like, you know, in the world of your industry, in your business.
If Frida Baby invented a thing that can suck the snot out by your mouth, then you can invent a feeding tube with your finger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this was so, like, right when she came back home from the hospital. I thought you were trying longer and then she's a couple of weeks old. This was like... Yeah.
This was fresh. Oh,
okay.
This first came home because, like I said, they discharged us with the feeding tube.
Yeah.
Because he asked for that, and they looked at him like, "When you're in the, you know,
ooh,
like,
daddy knew."
They give you whatever you want. So you can get all the diapers, all the wipes, all the stuff, onesies, blankets, whatever you need. Okay, they give you all that stuff. And he asked for. I think he saw it in like the bottom of the drawer because I think they keep it in there just like a, you know, FYI. Mm-hmm. Needed or something. So he asked if he could have more of those. I looked at him like, what's going on? And then I think one of those wee hours of the morning, because he'll be holding on to her, like, you know, holding her like this, finger like this, and then holding it up like this.
Oh, we got to have him say hello before we end.
Do you
this.
Have a picture
this
of like it?
A- I don't. I think I think Brandy asked me. I used to have a picture of it.
That would be cool.
I think, I don't know, I have a shadow box with like all her little stuff. Maybe I have that in her shadow box.
Yeah. So she's eating, she's feeding, which is great. And then how far along then were you able to breastfeed?
So I was doing both. So she was feeding on breast milk and doing supplementing with formula. And I was doing that. I did that with her entire time that she was, I never strictly solely breastfed. Mm-hmm. But I would say I did feel less than that. I could not do that all by myself, like breastfeed and provide nutrients in my child's growth by itself. It was almost like, if there is a hierarchy, let's just say that, of breastfeeding, the strictly breastfeeding
the
mom,
EBF, exclusively breastfeeding.
They're at the top. If you supplement and breastfeed, you're at the middle.
So you're saying there's a hierarchy?
Yeah, there's a hierarchy of breastfeeding or feeding your child. So, like, the top of it, the top of the pyramid is the exclusively breastfeeding moms. They are the queens of that area, I would say. In the middle, there's the ones that, like myself, who breastfed and supplemented. Mm-hmm. There's like, okay, yeah, you did it, but did you really do it, you know?
Of course you did.
And then beneath it is the people that decided to or could not do it on their own. No matter what your situation was, if you gave formula, you were at the bottom. I feel like it's an unknown hierarchy, but everyone knows.
Oh, no. I think it's a cultural hierarchy.
Yeah.
It's an unsaid. Yeah. And it's terrible. It still exists.
It's, you know, look. Breastfeeding is not easy for everybody. For some people, it's, you know, it's super easy and they love it. And I think you did what was right for your baby mm-hmm. and for yourself and for your family. Mm-hmm. And that's, in my opinion, what we need to embrace completely mm-hmm. and put mm-hmm. the rest of it away.
Yeah.
You know, that whole breast is best. Mm-hmm. Like that's.
And now, yeah. And I've heard things now. It's like fed is best. Come on now.
Fed
like,
is best.
Yeah. Come on.
That's the new slogan. Yeah. Fed is best. And then, mm-hmm. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, some people don't, or some women don't choose to breastfeed. They can't mm-hmm. afford formula because that's $36 a can. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you can get this for free, you know, from what God gave you and not use formulas, people never look at it. It works both ways. Mm-hmm. So
no, that's a very good point because even though I exclusively breastfed because I was just well equipped with all this milk and it was hard at times, I did think about, wow, how much I'm saving. I don't know how that came about. Maybe because I was learning about formula and just, you know, just mommyhood. And, but it was really a reality. And so mm-hmm. I didn't want to say, oh, I put myself through and I suffered through it, but I just really wanted to commit as long as I could. Right. I mean, who would have thought that that's part of a conversation, the economics of it all.
Oh, capitalism.
I know. At its best. At its best.
At its best. Yes. And so we're getting to inspiration?
Yes.
Or so,
we get there, you know, supplementing, breastfeeding. I go back to work. And then we're getting around like the 6 month mark when you start introducing babies to solid foods. So I was going down that YouTube rabbit hole or looking up what mm-hmm. brand is best, who uses, you know, this and what about that. I think I saw one company and they wanted like, I don't know, just say $2 for a jar. And I'm like, yo, I can make this myself. Like,
that's right.
For a 97 cent apple myself, yes. Or what we started with was a 50 cent sweet potato was the first mm-hmm. thing that Kinsley had. And that made 3 servings for her. Because, you know, at 6 months, you're just getting a couple, like, you know, spoonfuls, nothing crazy.
Food is fun until one.
Yes. So,
I never heard that. I love it.
And I was like, why would I want to pay that? So it got fun. And I was talking to my coworker. You know, you're at the cube. You're shooting the shit.
Yeah, you can swear. It's
fine. And I'm like showing them like, because it was starting to get fun for me, like making mm-hmm. her stuff. Because at that time, I would go to work. My husband would go to work. And she would go to my grandmother's house. So I would make the food to take over to my grandmother's mm-hmm. house. But like give it to her. So I was showing my coworker what I made. And then his name is Jamel. Jamel was like, he's from Jersey too. So he has like a Jersey accent. He's like, yo, you can make this.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, you can sell this. Because he was quite the entrepreneur. He mm-hmm. had like made his own way aside from his 9-to-5. And if you ask me, I was going to be a strictly 9-to-5 girly my entire life. I need guaranteed money. I don't want to mm-hmm. have to worry about where it's coming from. I mm-hmm. need that. That was me. He was like, but you can get other stuff on the side too. And I'm just like, no, like, don't talk to me about that. But then I started putting it on Instagram and showing people. Was like, you made that for your kid? I was like, yeah. So it literally took one sweet potato in a blender. We had at the time a NutriBullet. I put that in there with some breast milk, or I think I put like formula in there mm-hmm. at the same time. And then I made her own baby food. I do have pictures of that though.
Yeah, share it, please.
Mm-hmm. So that's what started it. And then him, my coworker, like telling me to post it. So I was just like, back then, it's just like celebrity Amber Rose.
Oh, Amber Rose. Yeah.
Anyways, she's known as like Mother, but in like a slang term. So I was mm-hmm. like, Mother, I like that, you know? And then he had the Jersey accent and he was like, yeah, you're a good Mother. And I was like, Mother is like what we are, mothers, you know? So it's just like munch food, you know, that type of stuff. So I said,
so it is Mother Munch. And then, okay. Yeah. That's perfect. So, I love it.
I think, I don't know. I was like, again, back to the name thing. I'm like, people are going to know how to pronounce it. Like, but I'm like, this is what is true to me. So I just correct them. So yeah,
Mava. That's another one. And then she got us in our little mommy crew to be, I'm like Googling Mava. And then Sade introduced me, not Amber Rose, to Mava.
Yeah. So you start this on Instagram. So is it that you're making food or you're teaching people how to make food?
Well, initially it just started from me posting what I was making for KJ. Okay. And people like start inquiring, did you make that? Well, how did you make it? And I would show them, make little videos, and I would just text it to them. Like, here you go. And then that's where Instagram with videos start coming, you know, a part of it. So this is like the end of 2019 during the pandemic. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then 2020, I took an ebook class right before the pandemic on how to make your own ebook. And I'm like, people are asking me. I went to this person, actually. I went to the person. Her name is Shayla. I said, Shayla, I want to make an ebook. I feel like it's something there that I can teach the people. I just don't know what to. She's like, why don't you do recipes and teach people how to make the stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're genius. That's why I hired you to do
that. Yes.
She went through like this 3-day intense course. I was coming in there, it was all online. She taught me how to make an ebook. So it transformed to me teaching other people how to make their own baby.
Mm. And then the bibs came in.
Yes. So during the pandemic, people were like, oh my God, I want to buy. And then everything, this was like a time where everything was transitioning to digital. Because if you don't have a brick and mortar, you need to find out how to get digital. If you couldn't go to a library, you need to figure out how to get. So like, some libraries were going to Kindle. You know, everything had to switch, and it had to switch fast.
Mm.
And then we were worried about costs. People were having their job one day and not having their job the next. They still need to provide. So what ways they can do that? So I was like, well, ebooks are good. I need to transform it to what can I give? My goal of Mother Munch is to make a food production company. I aim to be the next Gerber. But that comes with a lot of them, FDA regulations, all that type of stuff, a lot of money. I'm giving people the core, you know, the bare what you need to get started. So then I'm like, okay, well, why don't we come with like bibs and bowls? Because we're trying to make motherhood easy here. Mm-hmm. If I have a bib or not like a cloth bib or a bib that's easy to wipe off, doesn't get that nasty pasta red stain on there.
I know. I used my red bib for that. I was like,
exactly. Or, you know, something you can throw in the dishwasher on the top rack. So I started getting a supplier from China, had one manufactured and stuff like that. So that's how the silicone bibs. And then we have bowls and plates and everything else silicone with HBA free as well.
Okay.
And I have one, of course.
Yes. Okay, that's awesome. So here you are.
Yes.
9-to-5 girly. Yes. Your own words. Mm-hmm. Now you're an entrepreneur.
Love it.
Yes. Right? Yes.
So it's the pandemic. That means that, like, you were working in a hospital. So you were working and doing Mava Munch?
Yes.
During the pandemic?
Yes. And taking care of a 2-year-old at the same time and a husband. And then I'm highly involved in my church. It become like, it's no plan with me, Flo. You know this. It just starts and then like,
I love it.
It just develops into it. So now it's like I'm a serial entrepreneur at this point in time. And
are you still a 9-to-5 too?
I still am a 9-to-5 girly. Still am. Now, am I crazy most days? I don't know.
I respect this. Yes, I respect this behavior.
It works. It works. And I don't know. For me, how it would feel if it did not exist. Because this is kind of all I know in motherhood, to be multifaceted in multiple things at the same time.
Oh, now, that's so great to hear.
Yeah. It's at the point where I'm at my break. I can't take any more. I want to put more on that. And I'm okay with that. But it's just, it's more.
Great to hear, because all motherhood is so many facets. I'm the opposite. I couldn't imagine producing full time in my career and trying to raise these human beings because my career is not 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how to be, I wouldn't know any other way to mommy. But then you, the other end of the spectrum is you wouldn't know how to be mommy if you weren't working your job. Yeah. So I think it's beautiful on all ends. Yeah.
It's wonderful. So it's the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
you've got this new business that you're, this budding business that you've started. You have a 2-year-old husband, church that you take, that you do, all of the stuff that you do. And then at some point you decide, oh, we're going to have another kid.
Again, it was an oops.
Okay. Okay.
I know. Fair. And there's something to be said when you're married or in lifetime partnership, you're like, it's, yeah, it's like an intentional oops.
Yeah, it's so good. Really intentional oops. Because it was like, okay, we were talking about it because I told him, like, I'm not getting 35 and not having another kid. That's just not for me. I am going to plan that flow.
I was 41 when my kid was born.
I hit
43 and I'm like, said to my husband, it's now or never for the second one. He's like, we're not doing this. I'm like, okay.
Yes.
We all have our boundaries.
And then we were in the pandemic. And then, of course, I'm like trimming up because I'm doing an online YouTube workout and, you know, not eating out as much. Restaurants are still kind of closed and stuff.
Yes.
And then I remember this very vividly because I was going on a trip to New Orleans. My dad lives there. And I'm like, I feel funny. You know, let me just take a pregnancy test. Comes back positive. I remember coming out the bathroom, Andrew sitting on the couch. I say, here you go. You want this? He's like, what is it? And then he looks at me like, are you serious? I'm like, yes.
I've been like, wait, you got COVID? What's happening? Right?
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
COVID. He thought it was a COVID test.
Oh my
God. He thought it was a COVID test. Because I'm getting ready to go out of town. So he's like, oh, maybe she's taking it to see how she feels. Oh, go out of town. She said she was sick, you know, all that stuff. So I give him, I'm like, no, it's a pregnancy test. And he was like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. So then I was on Bourbon Street walking down.
That's hilarious.
So much inside because I'm a daddy's girl, but I did not tell my dad the entire trip and I stayed with him. I did not tell him because I tell him everything. My dad's like one of my best friends. And I'm just sitting there and he's like, you want a drink? I'm like, no, I'm okay. He's like, well, what's good? I'm like, I just want a drink, you know, my stomach's upset from the plane or something like that is what I said. But I was only there with him for 3 days. So he kind of like, you know, chill out about it. But
was it the whole just waiting to see if everything's okay, not telling him?
You know how most people like, you know, not say nothing until like 12 weeks.
Yeah, you just want to make sure. Okay.
And then my dad is an extremist. So it would have been like not an enjoyable trip for him.
Okay. So it's also because you know your dad. See, that's why I asked.
Yes.
It's not just anybody, you know. So that's
now,
why.
I was like, later to tell my mother. That's a whole other thing.
So, so you're pregnant with Kelsey.
And then I think I told you guys inside of Clubhouse.
Yeah.
I told my mother.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love it. We're your support system. We got you.
Yes,
girl.
Very much a support system because I need to know, like, you, Brandy, because you were a mom of multiples at that time. Mm-hmm. And I needed to know how to navigate, at least give an idea on how you did it. And I remember you were very into working out with your mom group at the time.
My village,
Yes. And you were like, you know what, Shay? I remember you said, sometimes you just gotta like, just muscle through it. Just muscle through it. It'll get better. Because I remember, you know, some days, and that's another thing with motherhood. Some days you can be the happy, chipper, go-lucky person. And then motherhood just takes you out.
Mm-hmm.
And then so we kind of knew just on that call, like where that other person was at, you know, whether it was a good day, bad day, or how can we help you through that day or get through
I remember. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I remember, you know, some days I came in there crying. Some days people come in there happy or talking about their wins for the week, all that stuff. So it was very instrumental. And it was like, I kid you not, the people that I met then, I would say in 2020 period, have become like my core people from now moving forward. I credit that because like whichever way you want to say the pandemic happened, we had to be still. I feel like we were doing too much. Life was, you know, pulling you in many different ways. But I feel like for me, God wanted me to stay still to figure out which way I wanted to go. So he put people like you in my life, or people my best friends I talk to every day, I met in Clubhouse. So it's just, and yeah. I hadn't seen her till a whole year later in person, you know.
Yeah,
so
it's we finally met.
The serial entrepreneur, the ideas for, you know, me, my businesses, you know, it started by me being still and during that pandemic. I mean, we lost a lot of people.
We did.
But I think you have something to take away from all of that, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, you take the good. You bring the good with you.
Yeah.
All that is good is what I say. You bring all that was good. All that is good. So you're pregnant with Kelsey. So how was that pregnancy? Yeah. With Kelsey.
Kelsey was very easy. I was like, this is a trick baby. She's tricking me and like, oh yeah, I'm so good. It's so easy. I mean, I had a lot of like back pain, but I think that's from like the epidural, you know, that type of stuff. So I was like, you know what? She wants to be the easy one. So I'm gonna let her go ahead and be the easy one. I have her. She's doing very good. In the beginning, she was rough because I said, I'm not gonna be low man on the totem pole this time. I'm exclusively breastfeed. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which I did. And I did that for just shy of 12 months. Because to me personally.
Wow. That's amazing.
It is compared to, you know, Kinsley. But I think I knew this time what to expect.
Right.
I say amazing because you know what it takes on the body too.
Yes. And I had a C-section with her too as well. Mm-hmm. So, I knew what to expect. And this time I did not have Nurse Courtney with me along the way.
You're more edumacated, definitely.
Oh my God.
Are. I said it. We were.
I had my doctor with me. She was there and Drew, he knew what to expect. So I had Kelsey. She came here right before Christmas. We were so excited to go home right before Christmas. And we came home Christmas Eve. Now she's here and almost two.
I know. And is she still the easy one?
No, she's a problem child. I can see.
I know. She was easy in your belly.
Because she's a young kid. Like,
hey. Yeah.
And that's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what we do. Yeah. I love it.
We just make trouble for everybody.
That's what we do.
I know. They're knocking, mommy. And then I would say she's easier in the sense because she picks up so much from Kinsley.
Well, we definitely were able, for the sake of time, you know, it's great that we were able to touch on with Kelsey, because we talked about how her C-section, you were able to schedule it like an appointment. And so we take it that went smooth as far as like, how was your postpartum for her?
It was
because you knew what to expect.
I knew what to expect. And then this, just a little thing. I got the 12 weeks paid leave off. I did not get that with Kinsley. Drew got the 3 weeks or the month paternal off. I did not get that with Kinsley.
Why was that? You were at the same job?
Because that's when the law was passed.
Oh.
And, you know, being a federal employee, they say you get 12 weeks paid leave. I didn't have to use my own leave. I still got paid my full pay. Back then, I don't even know how. Now that I'm saying this, how did we get through that? Because I just bought a house, had a kid, and was only getting like 50% of my pay.
You just do. I mean, like, no, there's no, you know.
Hindsight, you look back.
Yeah.
But then,
with me, I went back to work when she was 10 weeks old, right?
Yeah.
Did you go back when she was 6 or 8 weeks old? I mean, you probably couldn't because.
Well, now I'm putting it all together. Do you think your breastfeeding experience also had to do with you being home?
Yeah, I think.
Longer with her.
I was 12 weeks. So, and again, we're permanently working from home. So that helped out a ton. I used to hate, you know, every couple of hours at work going to go pump in the room and stuff like that. When I could just bring her up, I hated pumping with Kelsey because it was so much cumbersome, and I had to do it with Kinsley, but Kelsey was at home with me. I'm at home all the time. I could just and go. I think that's a lot to do with my success with that. And then the hospital that I got discharged from, they had a mommy support group for breastfeeding. Like they call it Melanin Rich. So it was a virtual online Zoom call, and it was so funny to see, like, I call graduating classes of people. So you'll get different spectrums of people that came in. Some people that just, you know, just got discharged, people that's been there 6 months.
Oh, wow. Great.
That's the whole year. And it was ran by an LED nurse, and she did it every week, Wednesday at 6 o'clock.
So that's great. Awesome. Takeaway for our listeners and viewers, you can find something even to this day online or in person. Groups, support groups.
Yeah. And I'm still friends with them. Like, I had that twice. So I did have that with Kinsley, and then I had that with Kelsey as well. That's one thing that our hospital offered that I think is the best. It was in person with Kinsley, and then just online with Kelsey. I'm friends with some of those moms. We have, you know, still communication. You go to the birthday parties, you name it. Mm-hmm.
I do, you know, we talk about the village. I'm glad we can touch on that in this interview so we can emphasize how important the village is.
Very much so. You know that that mother on the other end is up 2 a.m. breastfeeding when you have a question as well. Because, you know, and you don't feel bothered asking them a question or chopping online or sending a funny video to them or whatever. That was very important. I think that a credit to my success with my community. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we hope that Delivery Diaries does that too, that people can click on a short clip about breastfeeding perhaps and then listen to your story or other stories and in the 2 a.m. when you're up.
Right, at 2 a.m., right? Yep. And then there'll be links to their, you know, hopefully links to their local community.
It's on closed caption because it's on mute.
Yeah. Brandy, do we want to segue now to the book? Giveaway situation?
Yes.
So now both your babies inspired you for the book.
I think it was me realizing how important the name is, trying to incorporate healthy eating and encouraging that for parents as early as infancy, and then having something that kind of looks like them. So it's like montage, like what the book is, like the purpose for it. I see me in the ABCs, exploring the world of fruits and veggies through the alphabet. And each character, this is a cover.
Yay! We did it. I love it.
I love Cornell. Cornell, the carrot on your website, watching. What, did you draw that? Is that you? Did you do the illustrations?
No. So I had self-published this book. And through the help with Chelsea, who I met with Brandy, she has an illustrator, like an in-house illustrator, and you can opt to use them or find your own. But Juanita is her name. She's from Venezuela, and she illustrated the book for me.
Okay, Cornell is amazing.
Yes.
So everybody, on the website, which we'll put in the show notes, there is a clip of Cornell the carrot being drawn, and it's just so sweet.
Yes, adorable. Yes. I love how you have that on your website.
I try to, because people don't realize how what all goes into it. And this wasn't just like somebody I found. Like, I took time and effort into this as well, because I wanted it to look a certain way.
Yeah. So hold it back up. I want to see it.
Yes.
Want you to turn to X, because we had
Can you give a backstory on X? Yes. Thank you. I was texting Sharday. How did you come up with X?
Oh, this is Xavier, the Zigua melon. It's like a different form of like a cantaloupe. Watermelon, stuff like that. It's like if a cantaloupe and the watermelon had a baby, it would be a Zigua melon.
Okay.
And where's the origin of that?
And so it's in Mexico. Mm-hmm. You'll find it in like a lot of the Caribbean as well. The whole intent of it was to get like not your typical fruits and veggies, because we say apple, B, banana. You know, it is a whole faceted, multi different types of fruits and vegetables out here. And that's how I feel like kids become picky eaters, because they're used to seeing the same things. They're used to eating the same things. But let's try avocado. Let's see what that looks like.
Avocado is the perfect baby food.
Isn't it? You don't have to do anything to it.
That's it.
If it's right, you open it up, you put it in the bowl, you take the pit out, you take the skin off, and then you let the kid go. Like, it is literally the and it's so healthy, right?
So that was Kelsey's first food, was the avocado.
Well, now I look back real quick. So a couple of things before we end it is, what's Kinsley's and Kelsey's, what was her favorite baby food when they were eating solids?
Kinsley loved... She loved anything that had like sweet potatoes in it. She was more of a sweet girly. Now, Kelsey, she was very into the vegetables and still is to this day. She loves like green beans, anything like with pesto that I make or something like that.
Or pesto is good. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Okay. And then who is their favorite character in the book?
So, of course, they love the Kiwis because that is them.
I knew it. That's why it was a.
So this is them.
There we are. There they are.
Uh-huh.
And then,
Oh my gosh.
No, like,
can't show too much. You guys, we can't show too much because guess what? This is everyone. This is our first giveaway on Delivery Diaries. Surprise, surprise. We are so excited to announce that our listener, viewer will get a free signed copy.
Yes, autographed copy.
Yes. Obviously, we'll go over the rules and how to go.
How to enter to win.
Yeah, thank you. This is why we have a partner. How to enter to win for your free giveaway, free copy. Oh. That's amazing.
Yes, I'm excited. I think this is the first, because it's almost like a child. You know how you have that first child, like, are you having another one? And I'm like, they're asking me, are you making another book? I'm like, let's get this one sold out first before we start going down there.
Yeah, I hear it. That's good.
I am. It came to me from a friend, somebody in my village, of course. I was telling them about the troubles I was having with Kinsley. Now it's 5 and in kindergarten. So all this stuff comes from like real life experience. So she has some troubles in kindergarten. So it'll be Kinsley, the Kiwi goes to kindergarten.
Oh, so
it'll be like a spinoff.
Yes.
Ooh, nice. I love it. That's right awesome. Here first, people, Delivery Diaries. I love it.
The kindergarten.
Do you have any favorite unsolicited advice? Is there anything lastly you'd like to share? I mean, of course you shared a lot, but anything that comes into mind before we complete?
And I know like a lot of people, like my thing, unsolicited advice, I would say, do what's best for you. Don't depend on anyone else to shape and mold. Yes, with your community and friends, they can kind of help you make a decision. But I'm like, if I'm telling somebody something, I'm not doing it to persuade them to do something I want them to do. I'm just giving them the education or what I experienced myself to give to them. So, and then a lot of people, especially moms, think they have to take that advice. You don't have to. You can say it and leave it where it's there and go how you want to. And it's okay without, you know, having to get that implemented into your lifestyle. Do what's best for you.
That's awesome.
Oh, and then where can everyone find your website? I mean, we'll have it posted and yes. But can you share on?
Yes, yes. So the website is webbed, webbedpubco.com. And you can find me on Instagram and you can follow Mother Munch. And that's MUVAMUNCH brand, BRAND. Or you can go to It's Just Shay. And that's where you find like my book stuff and more like, you know, kid stuff.
Are you still selling the silicone bibs and everything and all the other?
No, Brandy, as we're talking, I'm looking at this tote over here sitting full of them. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. No, because we got to promote it. We're going to push it. Push it out.
I even went ahead and I was going to start back selling the bows and bibs. So I have that stuff too. I've been so focused on the book and I'm getting, you know, author events. It's just... Mm-hmm.
And there's only one of you.
Well, then let's give away a bib. You get a bib. You give a bib. You get a bib.
I still get an autograph book, a signed autograph. Yeah. I will make a very nice like first food package for them. Solid package for them. Oh, that's a good business.
Thing. There you go. Write it. Get your notes. Get your mama notes. Where's your iPhone? Thank you for sharing your delivery diary, Sharday, with us. That was so beautiful.
Thank you, Sharday. This was awesome. This was such a fun one.
My cheeks hurt from smiling.
One. Yeah. Look, Brandy, this is, I think, one of only a few that we haven't like bawled our eyes out.
So well, because, yeah, and we came
even laughing.
This, yeah, we come into this.
Funny girl. I try.
You're just fun. Can you bring the kiddos? Tell Drew. Drew, where are you? Get Drew. Get the girl in here.
Kelsey is sleeping.
Okay.
Time. Like, let me go get them. Hold on.
Can we say hi, Kinsley?
Hello. Hi.
How are you?
Thank you.
I don't know why she's acting so shy.
Because she's on camera. Is Drew there?
Like, we're strange people. Come on.
Is your MacGyver there?
Yeah, he's right here. Come on.
Hi, Drew. Can we say hi? We got to give you props, Daddy-O. Hi, Drew. There's Drew the MacGyver.
Oh, sporting the shirt.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh.
He's working.
Yeah. He's
that's good.
He has his own business as well as his 9 to 5.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, we just wanted to give you props about your syringe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
It's brilliant. Yeah. It was amazing. It was so thoughtful and how you thought of, like, you were up to something before you left the hospital, leaving with the tube. Like, daddy's up to something. All the nurses are looking aww at you. Like, what's he want with that? Okay. He's like, I know what I'm going to.
Yeah.
Taking care of my baby.
Mom need a rest sometimes.
So. Oh. Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Someone taught you well. That's awesome. That's amazing. Well, you guys have a beautiful family. Thanks for sharing your story, Shay, mm-hmm. Chardé.
Thank you so much.
Kinsley, right, now. It was nice meeting you.
We hope you follow and tune into all our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. All our episodes are also available to watch on YouTube under Delivery Diaries, the podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe.